Well, here we are. We are getting ready to discuss our doctrine. You know, there's free images on the internet, and I was trying to find something that was really imposing. This is the best I could find that was free. I'm very reluctant to pay for pictures, but I might have to do that at times. Okay, so our subject is our story. Today we're going to talk about the doctrine of God and Christ. And last week we discussed the doctrine of inspiration. This week we are going to look at the doctrine of God, Father and Son. Of course, the doctrine of God is about the Trinity, so that includes the Holy Spirit. But I did want to allow time to be able to discuss each statement as it is, and I think we have sufficient to discuss today. So we will be discussing the Holy Spirit next time, Lord willing, if we can get through all of this today. All right, so I have parallel statements again. I am using our own statement, the statement of the Foundations Baptist Fellowship International, and then one from the Toronto Baptist Seminary. And I'm a member of the Foundations Baptist Fellowship. That's why I'm partial to it. Toronto Baptist Seminary, I happened to run across theirs some years ago. I like their statement for the most part. When it comes to eschatology, I totally disagree with them, so I don't like it there. But other than that, I do like their statement pretty well. So we're just using it as a comparison and a way to get ideas of things to think about if we were to change our own statement or to update. I don't really mean change, but to update our own statement. We don't want to diminish what we have to say, but we may want to expand it. So our statement says, we believe in one true living God who exists eternally in three persons. They are equally perfect, and they execute distinct yet harmonious offices in the work of creation, redemption, and providence. And then the FBFI statement here on the Godhead says, we believe in one God and eternal spirit existing in three distinct uncreated persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, yet one in essence and equal in every perfection and attribute. All right. And then the Toronto Baptist Seminary statement of the Trinity, we believe that there is one and only one living and true God and infinite intelligent spirit, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth, inexpressibly glorious in holiness and worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love, that in the unity of the Godhead there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, equal in every divine perfection and executing distinct but harmonious offices in the work of redemption. All right, our statement adds a separate statement on the Father. The other two don't have this. We believe in God the Father, an eternal, infinite, and glorious Spirit, utterly holy, just, and righteous, full of power, wisdom, and love. We believe that he is concerned in the affairs of men, that he hears and answers prayer, and that he has provided salvation for all men in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then on Jesus Christ, we say, we believe that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. He is truly man and truly God. He was born of a virgin, dwelt sinlessly among men, and died on the cross to redeem man from sin. He rose bodily from the grave, ascended unto the Father, and will one day return bodily with power and great glory. All right, now the FBFI statement is more extensive here. Jesus Christ, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, who was begotten by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and is truly God and truly man. One person with two natures, divine and human. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of all men according to the Scriptures, and all who receive him are justified on the grounds of his shed blood. We believe in the resurrection of the crucified body of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his bodily resurrection into heaven, and in his present life there as high priest for us. We believe in the imminent return of Christ prior to the inauguration of Daniel's 70th week, at which time all believers in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and be kept from the promised period of divine wrath upon the earth. So that's a fairly comprehensive statement about Jesus Christ. The Toronto Baptist statement is quite simple. We believe that Jesus Christ was begotten of the Holy Ghost in a miraculous manner, born of Mary, a virgin, as no other man was ever born or can ever be born of woman, and that he is both the Son of God and God the Son. All right. Well, I'm going to start, I'm going to move to the observations, but at any point, if you have questions about something that's said here, feel free to ask. I'm going to just note a few things here. Okay, so in general, I think each of these statements contains things to commend. I wouldn't really criticize any of them. Some of them are briefer than others, and I think while you don't want to be too long in a doctrinal statement, in a sense, I mean, you could just repeat the whole Bible and say, okay, there's my doctrinal statement. Well, that's not very useful that way. But I think in general, each of these statements have things to commend. I don't really criticize anything here. Although I do criticize ours at one point, and I mentioned that, I think, earlier, but we'll talk about that in a minute. The Toronto Baptist statement offers the fullest description of the Trinity. So that's one thing to commend. The FBFI statement offers the fullest description of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And our statement includes a separate description of the Father. The concepts are mostly touched on in the other two, but our statement spells this out most completely. And then, number five, the FBFI statement includes the pre-tribulation rapture in its statement concerning the return of Jesus Christ for the saints prior to the inauguration of Daniel's 70th week. Now, I agree, certainly believe that, but I'm not 100% certain that it needs to be included at this point. They're describing Christ and who he is and the whole doctrine of Christ. That's why it's here, but I'm not 100% certain it needs to be included at this point. I think it should be included in a statement, but I'm not convinced it has to be right here. And then my last observation is, many heresies center on the nature of the Godhead and the person of Jesus Christ. For this reason, it is important to have a robust theology in your doctrinal statement. I think the foundation of your doctrinal statement is the statement on inspiration. That, to my mind, everything rests on the Bible. Can we trust the Bible? What do we believe about the Bible? What is the Bible saying to us? What does each point in the Bible say? And so forth. And the next most important section is the theology section. So I think it's important to state things as comprehensively and accurately as possible in this part of the statement. Lee, it looked like you were trying to raise your hand.
Just even comparing our statement and the FBFI statement on God.
Yeah.
It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are named for
it. Yes.
And then we have a section for the Father and Jesus Christ, but not
We do have a section on the Holy Spirit. I'm just dealing with the first two because of space. And I thought, oh, this will take too much time. But perhaps this isn't as controversial as some of my other points. So maybe I could have had time to include the Holy Spirit. Okay. However, there are things. See, the thing is, once you start talking about the Holy Spirit, then you have to define about charismatism and gifts of the Spirit and all of that stuff. And so that's why I thought, well, let's leave that one till next time. So it's, yes, Debbie.
I like that in the FBFI statement, just that one word in that first line there, in three distinct uncreated persons, because I guess having dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses over the years, that's a big deal with them, and you feel that Christ was created. And I think just adding that one word in there kind of,
okay, so
it does underscore what you said, that the most cults or whatever.
Heresies, yeah.
Heresies.
Yes. Yeah, well, my wife is mentioning that word in the FBFI statement where it talks about three distinct uncreated persons. She particularly likes that word because of her dealing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I do think that's an important word to have in the statement. Okay.
Inserting that word now.
Yes, okay, thank you.
I just want to concur with her.
Yes.
Because if I was looking online to determine whether, like, where you guys stood in the church, the FBFI statement seems really clear.
Yes.
Really distinct, gives a distinct understanding and the unity of the Trinity.
Absolutely. Yes, and as I've mentioned in our statement, I have to confess, I wrote this, and as I look back at it 30 years later, I'm thinking, I don't like the way I put, they are equally. We believe in one true living God who exists eternally in three persons. They are, and using the pronoun they could imply three gods, and I don't like that. Okay, so Christine.
Perhaps first those is really important too, because the Holy Spirit appears to according to the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right. That's right. So Christy's saying that the word person is very important, and I agree with that too. That's a very important word. I think that while our statement is not inaccurate as if you understand it correctly, I think that it is a little too brief. That's my feeling. I think that the FBFI statement is much more comprehensive on the person of Christ, and it's very, if we don't get that right, you're going to go astray on in your theology. We do have to get that right. Yes, Rob.
Yeah, like what you said about, like, you could really start going too far by including everything possible. It does sort of look like parts of the FBFI statement are that, like you said, eschatology, but also they start talking about the method of salvation and things like this.
Oh, where is that?
Christ died as a substitutionary sacrifice of sins. Like, wouldn't that be under a separate section of salvation?
Yeah, well, they do have a statement on salvation as well, but the thing is, I think what they're trying to do is comprehensively describe the work of Christ, what he did. I don't particularly have a problem with adding that here, although I acknowledge, you know, they do fall under other headers as well. Obviously, salvation is another point, and that I can see what you're saying with that.
Just sort of getting it could become a very big, verbose.
Well, if you look at their total statement, they're not. It's not that much longer than ours. It's just that here they have more stuff.
I do like a lot of stuff they're saying, and I'm sort of cautious about how much a person has, but like it says, the resurrection is the crucified body of Christ. I sort of like that because, again, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say it was a spirit resurrection.
Right, right. Well, again, see, a lot of these things, I will say, on the doctrine of Christ, a lot of the things that Orthodox Christians include are specifically because of Jehovah's Witnesses' false teaching. And so the bodily resurrection is absolutely critical. And it's really, I think it's important, it is the same body.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like a spirit body has marks in it.
Yeah.
You know, and then that passage where Jesus is said, says, do you have anything to eat? You know, in the resurrection. Well, I remember a preacher on this. He says, spooks don't eat fish. So, anyway, I love that line. Anyway.
So, and the point being, like, it could be worthwhile to put something more specific about the body, like crucified body or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up for debate, but
yeah.
You don't want to get too over.
Yes, I understand that. Yeah. We don't want to. It can create an unwieldy document, but at the same time, you do want to be on the doctrine of God. We want to be as precise and careful as possible because it is so. It is such a battleground. People, you know, obviously Antichrist hates Christ. And so they want to overthrow the truth, you know, every way they can. And even as we read this morning in 2 John, or 1 John 2, that is their agenda. They are Antichrist. And there are many antichrists in the world. It's not just the antichrist, but there are many antichrists. And their number has only increased. All right. Any other comments or questions at this point that you'd like to? I'm hoping there will be. Yes, Cam.
I just wonder if you could clear up your issue with the first statement on God. We believe in one true living. One
yeah.
Living God who existed eternally in three persons, equally perfect, executing distinct yet harmonious offices in the work of creation, redemption, providence.
Yeah, that would clear it up for me to do it that way. If you take out they are, because, I mean, my intention was that the they would refer to the persons. But it could, a pronoun like that could point back to God. One true living God who exists eternally in three persons. They could refer back to God. And that's why it's ambiguous. That's the ambiguity of it. That's why it bothers me that I put it there. In retrospect. All right, David?
The passage on Jesus Christ says, dwelt sinlessly among men and died on the cross to redeem man. The other two died on the cross as well?
Yes.
In the FBI statement, it says that died as a substitutionary sacrifice.
Yes.
Why he died on the cross?
Yes. Okay, so.
The cross didn't take away our sins, but only because it is a substitutionary atonement.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
As if it wasn't the substitutionary atonement, it was just like the other defense.
That's right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true, and that is important. That's a good. I see what you're saying now. That's why it's in there, to distinguish. Because there were thousands of people who died on crosses. Yes. That's right. That's an important statement. Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to... go over to the suggestions side now. We could improve our statement in two ways. One, the wording of the clause in the Trinity, as we've talked about, and two, each section could express more distinguishing details. So this is a suggestion then. This is how I would suggest. On God, we believe in only one true God, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth, an eternal spirit, existing in three distinct uncreated persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, yet one in essence and equal in every divine perfection and attribute. So that is basically the FBFI statement with the addition of that clause, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth, from the Toronto statement. Okay. Now this is just a suggestion. I'm not saying this is the way it must be. All right, and then on the Father. God the Father is utterly holy, just and righteous, full of power, wisdom, and love. We believe that he is concerned in the affairs of man, that he hears and answers prayer, and that he has provided salvation for all men in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's essentially our statement. I don't know if there's any change from it. I think it's important to note that God is a personal God who hears and answers prayer. And so that's why I think that we would maintain that statement. Then on Jesus Christ. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, who has begotten us, who was begotten by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and is truly God and truly man, one person with two natures, divine and human, who never sinned while yet dwelling among men as a man. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of all men according to the Scriptures, and all who receive him are justified on the grounds of his shed blood. We believe in the resurrection of the crucified body of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his bodily ascension into heaven, and his present life there as high priest for us. And then last, we believe in the imminent return of Christ prior to the inauguration of Daniel's 70th week, at which time all believers in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and be kept from the promised period of divine wrath upon the earth. Now, as I said, this clause perhaps should be a little bit later. I have added, besides the text that I think were cited in the FVFI statement, I added Revelation 3:10. And I'll just read that one for you. The reason I did add it, I think this is perhaps one of the strongest texts for the pre-tribulationary rapture. It's where Paul is, or John, or the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking to the church in Philadelphia. And he is through John. And he says in verse 10, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole earth, whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth." And the word, "I will keep you from," that "from" is the preposition "out of." Out of. And it's the word "ek." We get "exit" from that preposition. Okay? It is, there have been extensive studies done on this preposition because of this verse. Some want to take it to soften its meaning and make it mean something else, but it is, in all of Greek literature, there is no instance anywhere where it is used to mean anything other than "out of." So, to keep out of the hour of tribulation. And he's quite clearly talking about the coming tribulation in that verse. Now, that's a message to one church, but the messages to that one church we apply by extension to all churches. And so, to me, that's the strongest verse on the pre-tribulationary rapture. So I included that in there with this section. Now, the question is, should we include that section here or later on in eschatology? That's something that is open for consideration, but since it was in the FBFI statement, I thought I would just include it here for now in our thinking, and so that it doesn't get forgotten. And then as we work through this and think about this, if we decide to make a change, then that would be something. We would certainly want a statement to that effect, but these scriptures are the ones that support the doctrine. All right, Christy's first.
I don't know if this question is out of place right now, but the reasoning for Jesus Christ is that is a substitute for the missionary sacrifice of the sins of all men according to scripture, and all who receive him. It's, would trust him for forgiveness, or something like that. Because I was a false convert.
Yes.
I did. I received him into my heart. I had no idea I was a sinner.
Well, I know that. There is the thing is this. We could change that word. That's certainly possible. It is a Bible word. So the problem is, I suppose, that people have misappropriated the word. And in teaching about salvation, there has been a softening of the conversion experience so that sin is not dealt with I can see what you're saying. I can understand that. That could be tightened up. All right, Lee's next, and then Jennifer.
Just a quick thing on that last statement. Right? From the promised period of divine wrath, like even Revelation 3:10, does it say tribulation?
It doesn't use the word tribulation. It talks about the hour of trouble, the hour of testing.
From the tribulation, the promise, is that?
I don't think that makes a significant difference. They're all synonymous, in my mind, anyway. Jennifer.
Like she had mentioned, what about saying, saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves?
Well, that would be covered. See, this is what Rob was saying. Well, doesn't that really fit with under salvation? And that's correct. It really is part of salvation doctrine, not who Jesus is. And so. Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to, when we putting the whole thing together, maybe we're going to see that we've got some redundancies and we'll have to fine-tune it a bit. a bit further.
I think your eschatology, like the creature rapture, should be under your eschatology for this doctrine of the body.
Right. That is when I read that. That's exactly what I was thinking. But then I was looking and thinking, well, so I left it here for now. But it certainly is an eschatological point. And there's still work to be done here to make this as smooth and streamlined as we want it to be. And actually, when you think about it, we want this section to be about who Jesus is. You can't divorce that entirely from what he does, but you want to tighten it up in some extent. All right, David.
But at that same paragraph, we believe in the return of Christ, at which time all believers will be caught up to be born in air and be eternally with him. Because that's...
Well, that doesn't allow for the king...
That's the work of the Lord. That's the...
Yeah.
That's the
God. Yeah. Well, okay, I'll think about that. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the thing is that Well, I understand how that word is problematic because people have said that. They've taught, especially to little children, about receiving Jesus into their heart, and that it causes a lot of confusion. People think they're Christians simply because they grew up with it, and we often hear people say, "Oh, I've always been a Christian," and no, you haven't. All right, Marilyn.
In 1 John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God."
Yeah, see, that's the. You mean John 1:12, not 1 John. Yeah, that's okay. Yes, and that's exactly... See, that's why I say it's biblical terminology. So, we can't, unfortunately, I guess what we have to be careful about is yes, it's biblical terminology, but because in our culture especially it has become so misused, then we might want to have a more clear word than that one. Although I certainly... I don't have a problem with the word. I don't have a problem with even preaching, you know, receiving Christ. And I think some of our hymns say that. I don't have a problem with that because it is a Bible concept. But when we're dealing with somebody on an individual basis, we want to be clear that you're not just saying yes to Jesus and keeping all your other gods. Okay? You're making a change. Repentance, yes. All right, so Christy?
Yeah, I'm not saying, oh, Jesus is acceptable to me.
Yeah.
Save me.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. Lee?
I don't know the words, like I'll paraphrase you, but like, when you were preaching a Roman, like, you said it once, like it's more than just an intellectual...
Yes, intellectual assent, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So it is important. And these are your responses here are good. I appreciate what you're saying, and that's good input. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look. See, I'm a little bit. See, cause now I'm zeroing in. You know, this is my way. I'll zero in. I don't even have anything in my head about what the soteriology sections say at this point. So I'm sort of going, I wonder if we've got all that cleared up already in some of these other statements in that section. But I don't, you know, so I'm flying blind a little bit. I'll have to go look at this. And this afternoon, I do have an afternoon shift at Rocky Point. So the very first thing I'm going to do is pull up these files and look at that section. And and I'll do some more work on this. We're going to the Holy Spirit next. And I forget. And then probably, I think the doctrine of creation and man comes after the Holy Spirit. We do, like our statement, does not have a clear statement on creation. And I think that's vital. We have to have a clear statement on creation and the first 11 chapters of Genesis somehow. So that's got to be included because it's critical to understanding the whole Bible. And it's under such attack. Our culture, boy, it's amazing to me how I talk to the fellows at work, occasionally topics like origins come up, and how immersed our world is in evolution, and as if, you know, it's proven. You know, to their minds, it's proven. Well, no, it's not. But they are committed to that idea. So, yes, Marilyn.
You don't want to include one section on Christ's miracles, his credentials, that you know,
the Son of God. Okay, let me just think of what we've... That's a good question, because that was certainly an issue during the fundamentalist modernist controversy. Did he perform miracles or not? So, yeah, that's a good point as well. Again, we want to be brief, but not too brief, right? So, Lee.
Yeah, I think that is the point. Because even like in Christian circles, people that's the liberalism side.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, okay, I'm going to write down three things. This will hopefully remind me. Rapture, receive, and miracles. And soteriology. Just to remind myself, because I think that I want to think this through a little more carefully. Yes, Lee? Well, no, you have to get to the fall first before you get to salvation, you see. So the doctrine of man typically comes after creation, and then man is typically the order.
Well, no, I wasn't saying like changing it here just as we're talking about this, because we're covering a lot of these topics and saying, well, it's fresh, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. All right. Yes, Marilyn.
Well, if you've got the eternal Son, but with pre-existence?
Well, I think either word is fine. Yeah, yeah. I think, and I think eternal communicates the idea that because something could be pre-existent without being eternal, I guess. So I think eternal is a little more comprehensive. Might be too fine-tuning, too picky there, but yeah, we do. You know, I was just talking out in the lobby there to, I think, David, about God. You know, and the infinity of God is something we do not understand. And we try to describe it, but we don't understand it. And so, you know, we can sort of touch the surface of what it means, and in our minds, it's like, you know, when Moses saw the hinder parts of God, whatever that was, okay, in the mountain. But, you know, to understand God is far beyond us. So we're just trying to be as careful as we can about Him and not say more than is true and not say less than is true. Okay, are we done for today? Looks like I've answered all the questions or comments. So let's just have a word of prayer and we'll close and get ready for lunch. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had this morning, thinking about the doctrine of God and Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom as we approach these doctrines, and to be not in a rush, and to be thinking through what the truth is as taught in the Bible. Help us to be broad where the Bible is broad and narrow where the Bible is narrow. And to be wise in those things that unite our church as one body. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.